Let's pray. God of grace and love, inspire us today by your word. Illumine our hearts. Soften us that we may understand. Challenge us with your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, this is the fourth Sunday we've talked about this sermon on the plain, and it's been enjoyable for me. I hope it's enjoyable for you. We got to hear it in its entirety, and then we've divided it up into little sections, and I, honest to goodness, couldn't figure out how to make a real cohesive, neat package for you today, so I gave up. And we're just going to walk through the passages and try to understand them a little bit, because the most I can hope for in the few minutes that we have together is to inspire you and challenge you and make you question so that you can go back during the week and look at it yourself or talk to others or talk to me about it. But I think this is a fascinating, it's the second longest passage or consecutive passage of Jesus' teaching that we have. And I think it's phenomenal to understand. Today, I wanted to start back on 37 because these passages that start with "do not judge" and "forgive, your gift will return to you in full," "pressed down, shaken together." These are important to understand what Jesus is about to say next. Now, excuse me for this, Rick, but what do you call two physicians who agree on the same diagnosis? It's a paradox. You see, that's this part of Jesus' lesson is a bit of a paradox. Because he says you can't give until you receive, and you can't receive until you give. You can't give until you receive, and you can't receive until you give. That doesn't make sense. But that's what he's saying. Because what he's saying throughout this whole message is that the kingdom of God doesn't necessarily fit our normal rules, our normal way of thinking. That sometimes things have to be held in tension. Like you can't give until you receive. Think about it. If you have a hard time accepting a gift from someone, maybe you went through a period of your life and you were challenged financially and someone came up to you and wanted to offer to help you, sincerely help you. It was difficult for you to take that gift. And maybe you did and maybe you didn't. But if you did, I promise you that when it came time, when you had the opportunity to help someone else, how you gave that gift and how you did that changed because you were changed by the gift that you were given. Jesus says that we have to learn how to both give and receive. And we have to keep those in tension because we can't be good givers unless we're good receivers. And we can't be good receivers unless we're good givers. The next part of this passage is supposed to be a joke. Actually, it's supposed to be three jokes. Now, I'm going to guess, like you, that when you look at this passage, I don't get first century humor because they weren't really funny to me. But these word pictures of blind leading blind, I guess maybe they're not PC today, but the blind leading the blind was supposed to be funny. This was supposed to be a funny story about a speck in someone's eye and a log in your own eye. It was supposed to make the people that heard it the first century giggle a little bit, to set them at ease. Now, he was telling them an important story. Is that going in and out, or is that just me? A little bit? I'm going to move over here then. He was telling them this for a very important reason. And he was describing for them the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were the ones who had all the rules. See, originally, Moses and the prophet and the worship of God through Israel was done differently. But over the centuries, it changed. And by the time the first century came around, the Pharisees had developed a set of rules to help everyone live up to the commandments so they could be righteous before God by the way they lived. And so if you were a disciple of a Pharisee, you would learn those rules, but you could never be anything more than your teacher. You could never be anything more than a Pharisee. And Jesus is saying, you know, that's okay if that's what you want. If that's what you want, then you do that. You can do that. But you'll never go beyond that. But he says, if you think about life differently, by not judging, by holding things in tension, by loving those that don't love you, you remember from last week, by lending to those and expecting nothing in return, having fun with life. If you want to have that kind of fun, then don't get into that world of rules. Don't let them bog you down. Because then all you end up doing is judging each other and judging yourself, being critical of others and being critical of yourself, and all you're doing is constantly looking for specks and logs. And where's the fun in that? You're constantly looking for specks and logs. But then he gets to the meat of where he's headed in this passage. And that's when he's talking about trees and fruit. And heart. Because as the song that we just sang said, change my heart, O God. A broken and contrite heart is what God looks for, the psalmist said. Jesus said, out of the treasures of the heart bear fruit. This is what the point of this whole message is. This is the foundation that he's talking about in the next parable, is a change of heart. Only when our hearts are changed can we truly understand what Jesus is talking about here. Because otherwise we get caught in those same type of rule-based life. But the kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about, this new kingdom, this new way of living, isn't based on rules. I have a poster in my office. It's just part of a poem. The quote is part of a poem from a 14th century Islamic poet named Rumi. And he says, out beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there lies a field, and I will meet you there. Out beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing, the concepts of what is a speck and what is a log, outside the judgments of each other and outside the judgments of ourselves, there's a place. And that's a place where two human beings can actually interact. And it's a place where God can interact with us. But it's a scary place because it's outside the rules. It's outside our comfort zones. It's where God asks us to be. He asks us to be vulnerable, to love those that hate us, to pray for those who despise us, to lend to those who really just want to take our money. That leaves us vulnerable. But according to Jesus, it is on top of that vulnerability, on top of that openness to allow our hearts to be changed by a God that loves us, that's where the foundation of life is found. That's the firm foundation, not whether we can memorize scripture or whether we can recite rules or whether we can live and be a certain way. It's where our heart is changed. Because when the heart is changed, the life that comes from that heart is completely different. The fruit that comes from that changed life, that changed heart, that fruit that comes forth from this new life is always good. That's where Jesus is going with this message. The foundation is not something we have to do, not some way we have to act. It's to allow our hearts to be changed by God, a broken and contrite heart. Because when we think we've got it right, that's when we keep God from changing us. It's in those vulnerable moments when we care for those who aren't like us. We accept those that look and act differently from us. We embrace people that are ugly to us. It's in those moments of vulnerability that our hearts can be changed. And by giving, we can receive. And then by receiving, we can give. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.